This week on It's So Bad, Zeke and or Julie fight werewolves, zombies, demonic babies, spiders, squid men, aliens, UFOs, football players, giant ants, blobs, pod people, snakeoids, chainsaw-wielding maniacs, plants, vampires, mushroom men, and giant babies. And zombies ate my neighbors on It's So Bad. Steve.
Hello, Mike.
Chris.
Mike, always a pleasure.
How is everybody?
Feeling good, you know? Things are looking up around here these days, I feel like, for no specific reason.
We're going to hold off on that. Things are looking up. It's still 2020. Whoa. Let's hold your horses here.
Listen, I'm not getting into any specific reason why things are looking up. I'm just saying.
Oh, I will. I'm having a better day than Donald Trump, and fuck him. So, I'm going to guess Donald Trump didn't play any video games.
Listen,
we don't know. Where things are going to be.
Once all the legal votes are counted, we'll see where things are.
Yeah, should probably be saved for describing what our endless list is. When all the legal votes are cast, these games fall somewhere on our endless list.
Nothing but illegal votes on this podcast.
Yeah.
So you can subscribe to this ridiculous podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts from. You can follow us on Twitter at It's So Bad Pod. It's So Bad Pod at gmail.com is our email address. We are adding this week Zombies Ate My Neighbors to our endless list, which is a list that currently spans 102 games. We added last week Alien Isolation as our 27th game on the endless list. It currently goes from Super Mario 64 all the way down to Jurassic Park Trespasser at number 102.
And I will continuously point out that as we add games, Super Mario 64 does not get better, but Jurassic Park Trespasser gets worse. That's fantastic.
Well, you could say that comparatively, if there's more games added, it's got more competition. It's like a champion getting challenged every week, right?
It's not been bested, though, since it's been added to this list.
Yeah, I think...
undisputed champ.
I think since we completed the best of the best run last month, I don't think we are adding contenders to the throne as of late. I think we're adding some strong mid-carders to upper mid-carders from here on out. But nobody's punching high enough to hit Super Mario 64 right now.
Before the end of the year, we might add a game.
That is true.
This is true. We have a soft spot for this particular franchise that may be coming up in a big way. We'll see.
There's your big market tease for the future episodes.
But yes, we are adding Zombies Ate My Neighbors this week, which is a action game. It's interesting. It's level-based. There are 48 stages, and you work your way through them. Yeah, every stage, there are 10 neighbors that you have to collect. The neighbors can be anything from soldiers to barbecue dads, trampoline girls, teachers, cheerleaders, babies, explorers, dogs, guys in inner tubes.
Tourists. Tourists. Don't forget the tourists.
Oh, yeah, the tourists. I forgot about the tourists, too. So you have to rescue the neighbors as you fight off all of these various horror movie monsters that are not just classic horror movie monsters, but also like ripped from the 80s horror movies as well. So you have werewolves and zombies, but you also have like Chucky dolls, the demonic babies, they call them. The Tommy the Evil doll is what they're named in the instruction manual.
I was wondering about those guys. I was like, are those zombie babies? Is that what I'm fighting right now? And so they're supposed to be dolls?
So that's a Chucky.
Yeah, Tommy the Evil doll.
So this whole, and I'm not going to harp on this too much, but this, for this whole game is kind of like a nice walkthrough from 1950s American monster movie / alien invasion style aesthetic through 80s horror. It's a nice little,
yeah.
It really focuses on the Western style of sci-fi Monster on the Loose style, when you have the episode with, like, the big it, or episode level of, like, the giant overgrown ants, Monster on the Loose through the pod people, through then getting into, like, the 80s slasher horror with, like, Chucky, Jason, etc. Also, in homages to the classic Universal Creature from the Black Lagoon and the George A. Romero, like, zombie movies, which I think are probably the most prevalent throughout the game.
Yeah, there's... The squid men are called Gilman of the Blue Lagoon. That's what they're called in the instruction manual. There's also vampires, which don't happen later on into the game. They're called Vlad Belmonts.
I'm picking up that reference.
This game was developed by Konami. I don't know if you knew that.
I did know that.
But so it actually wasn't developed by Konami. It was published by Konami, developed by LucasArts.
Oh,
which is interesting. Fair.
Yes, and this does have LucasArts written all over it in terms of, like, that early 90s kind of computer console gameplay.
Art, and it's got the art style. The art style is very LucasArts, especially, like, when you first pick, you get to pick either Zeke or Julie to play as. That, like, the with the film grade and stuff, that it feels very LucasArts, just like the sprite design. But yeah, it was originally developed for the Super Nintendo, ported to the Genesis. I originally, back in the day, had this for Super Nintendo as a child. But I do have it on Genesis now. They're both very good games. But the Super Nintendo one is, like, slightly better. But yeah, we mentioned it's inspired by the classic and modern horror movies. I don't know if you know this, but they originally wanted to include a battery backup in this game, but it was deemed too expensive to include a battery backup. So that's why you have to use passwords, not a battery.
The password system is what? A little problematic, would you say, as we get into this?
From a gameplay perspective,
I don't want to jump ahead too much.
Yeah, yeah. we'll talk about that. But yeah, I mean, this game was originally designed for Nintendo, it had to pass Nintendo's censorship originally. And so when this game originally came out, there was supposed to be blood in it, but it was removed because Nintendo's got a Nintendo in the early 90s. It came out in 1993, I believe, which was at the time when Mortal Kombat came out, and they had to get rid of the blood in that game as well. So this game was very gory when it was originally developed, but it was removed, and subsequently it wasn't included in a Genesis port either because they ported it from the Super Nintendo cartridge.
I'll interject really quick on censorship. The European version of this game is just called Zombies. Because zombies ate my neighbors.
Right.
It was a little bit too much. But also, there is the Jason Voorhees Texas Chainsaw Massacre mashup villain, for the purposes of outside of America, had to be changed to a Canadian X-Men instead of a chainsaw-wielding villain with a hockey mask. For some reason, even though they function exactly the same, having a axe was less offensive than having a chainsaw. And they went so far as, like, even to change that character's art, even on, like, the character selection screen and stuff like that throughout the game. So, but being chopped up by an axe, apparently not as bad being chopped up by a chainsaw. So there you go.
One of the cool parts about this game, so I mentioned there's 48 levels plus 5 bonus stages that you have to work through and collect all of the neighbors, the 10 neighbors in each stage, while avoiding all of these different various monsters. One of the cool things is every level is, like, named basically a fake horror movie. So the first level is Zombie Panic. There's levels like Invasion of the Snakeoids. There's Revenge of Dr. Tongue. There's Dr. Tongue's Castle. There's Dr. Tongue Strikes Again, or whatever, The Curse of Dr. Tongue. Then there's a whole Destroy All Vampires is one of them. Martians Go Home. They're all like...
or Mars Needs Cheerleaders, really, or something along those lines.
Yeah. Mark of the Vampire, Dances with Werewolves. Look Who's Coming to Dinner is one that's about, I think, werewolves. Yes. Then there's just one that I got to the one that was just named Spikes. It's just a level that's filled with spikes.
As one who is personally a big fan of campy B movies and also like classic like Universal horror, like this game aesthetically and thematically hits a lot of beats just right.
Yeah, so we mentioned that you have to work your way through all these different levels. There's like I think there's five different motifs for each level, but the level designs are different. So there's neighborhoods, there are castles, there are shopping malls, pyramids, and there's like the dock, like beachfront levels as well. Mm. That you have to work through. But the level designs are pretty good. I think they are varied enough that you can they've changed them up throughout all of them. They also input like different. Bad guys in each that is makes it more interesting, but also there's like a million different weapons in this game. Well, not a million. There's Uzi squirt guns, there's bazookas, there's weed whackers, explosive soda cans, ice pops, tomatoes, silverware, dishes, ancient crucifixes, flamethrowers, which didn't appear in the Genesis version, fire extinguishers, Martian bubble guns, and footballs. And that there's a ton of different weapons, but there are certain weapons are effective against different creatures. So for example, and it's all tied into their horror movie mythology. So for example, werewolves, and I didn't this time playing through I realized it, but I didn't realize it like when I played this 30 years ago when I was a kid. So werewolves die instantly from silverware, for example, and vampires die only from crucifixes. And mummies instantly die from crucifixes. Martians die from tomatoes, because I guess that's a thing from some old monster movie.
Mm. Oh, isn't that... Yeah, what is that? Like, tomatoes from outer space or something like that? Isn't that like some shocky
there's horror of the movie? There's Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
That's what it is. I feel that must be it. When did that come out?
Attack the Killer Tomatoes? Like, that's the like mid-70s, I think. Or late 70s.
78. That must be why. Yeah. I did notice that in playing this game, though, because I got to, like, the Chucky doll creatures, and they weren't going down for my squirt gun, and I had to throw, like, the explosive soda cans at them. And then I found that there were, like, I got, like, red, were they, like, jawbreakers or something? Like, red balls that I was throwing at people, and they exploded? And I was like, is this whole game...
No, those are tomatoes.
Oh, those are the tomatoes. Those are the tomatoes. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think...
I got, like, the ice pops. It's all food-based. Or like water based.
I think the tying of the weapons to the mythology was, we'll just call it loose at best. Most of your quote unquote silverware is actually probably stainless steel, which is probably why I did not make the connection that throwing forks and plates at a werewolf was going to kill it. But
the best in the instruction manual, so they like hint in the instruction manual about what certain weapons are effective against what. And for the dishes, and I was like trying to figure out what the dishes would kill instantly. They're like, well, when you don't have anything left, you just throw dishes at them. And because they're not effective. They're the worst weapon in the game, the dishes. There's also a secondary item, so you not only have your primary weapon, but you get like med kits. You get potions, which can be either mystery potions, invisibility, or like the ghost form and monster, or you can turn into a monster, which is super cool. There's also speed shoes, keys, decoys, and Pandora's box will kill everything on the screen pretty much, or hurt him a lot. There's a couple things that there. So this game I really liked as a kid. This time playing through it, there were some things that popped up that I did not particularly enjoy. So I really tried hard to beat this game. But for example, the first Snakeoid level that you get to, which I think is like, it's like level 18 or so, or 16. It's just called Ants. level 16, when you get to the Ants, you have to kill not the Ants level. It's the 20, Invasion of the Snakeoids. You have to kill, I think, 3 Snakeoids, which are things that bear... They're like tremors. They're supposed to be tremors, because that movie came out right around the same time as this. They come out of the ground, and they only stay above ground very short, slimly, and you have to kill them, You have to kill three of them in this level in order to progress, because there's locked doors that have skeleton keys that you get behind. And you really need a potion that turns you into a monster in order to beat those snakeoids. And if you don't have that potion, it is almost impossible to get by that level. And there's certain things that and that happens multiple times in this game. There is a you eventually will fight Dr. Tongue. So Dr. Tongue is the boss of this game. And I think he first appears in around the 30s, I think. Level 30s. And he has a giant spider form that you have to beat. And he is also he's less impossible than the snakeoids, but he throws spider web on the ground that slows you down. And he's this big giant spider that can lunge at you. And he's extremely hard if you don't have the monster juice, the potion. So that stuff of you need to save up these items, because if you don't have these items, it almost makes this impossible. That makes this game go a little bit lower in my mind when I think about it. There's also the fact that, Chris, you alluded to this earlier, but you get a password every four levels. But every four levels, you're accumulating a lot of items. And if you just start at level 44, which is the last password I think you can get, and you have no items, the game's fucking impossible. You can't do that. Even if you just start midway in the 20s, it's very, very difficult when you start from scratch and have no items.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, because, that's... So, when I had this game, or... I don't remember if I had this game as a kid, or if it was more that I, would just rent this game a lot. But, I used to play this game a lot as a kid, and it's one of those games, I don't want to go through, fucking almost 50 levels, whatever. You just, throw in a password towards the end of the game after, you played the first, 10. But you get smacked all around because, you have nothing. I think I just felt those, last couple levels were just, way too hard to do. And I feel like I think I beat this game at some point, but I don't know. It was one of those things. I have a lot of memories of playing, the first, 20 levels. But, after that, it gets, really foggy.
Yeah. Same. There's some really cool level design, though. There's, a level that you're... I think it's Mars Needs Cheerleaders, where you're on a football field and there's football players that can hit you and strike you back. But there's also Martians who make you turn into a bubble, and there's a floating UFO overhead. It's very cool for a Super Nintendo game. It looks very cool.
Yeah.
I will say again that the levels are pretty varied.
Yeah. It's, as me as a kid growing up who was just kind of at, for my on a personal level, discovering a lot of these old monster movies at that time, which are a thing that I'm very much into these days, it was cool. It was a game that kind of provided a unique aesthetic that I wasn't getting out of a lot of other mainstream Super Nintendo games at the time. I said King of the Monsters and I guess that's pretty much it. Duke Nukem 3D to a degree, but I want to throw it to Steve because I want to know what Steve's history and background was with this game.
This is interesting. I was just going to say this. This game I did not play until 2 weeks ago or whatever, and I didn't get that far in it because I got distracted with other games and current events that we referenced at the beginning of this podcast. So I only got about three levels in, but I have a very distinct memory of growing up standing on the playground with one of my best friends, and he was just raving about this game. And at the time, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, I didn't have any video game systems when I was that young. And he was oh, Zombie Eat My Neighbors, it's so fun. You can play with two people and it's just so cool. And he was going on and on about it. And I was man, I really want to play that game. So for, 30 years of my life, or however, 25 years of my life, I've had that memory in the back of my head. So when this got suggested for the podcast, I was hell yeah, I want to check this out. I finally want to see what Zombie My Neighbors is about. I only played the three levels, but I had a great time with it. And I see what you're saying about the varied level design. I only got the three levels, so I didn't get the full experience of it. But plays pretty well. I liked the variety of the weapons. I liked the monster movie throwbacks. I liked the kind of Bart Simpson character that you're playing, the kid with the 3D glasses or whatever. Like, it felt very 90s. Like, I can remember, if I had played video games back then, I'm sure I would have had a lot of nostalgia for this game. So, you know, I didn't really come of age in the video game era until PlayStation 1 and 64. Yeah. But, yeah.
Maybe, I was going to say, Mike, maybe I pose this question to you because, you know, you and I were the, not that we are years and years older than Steve, but we're just like just enough years older to have a little bit of a different Super Nintendo gaming experience.
You guys are like 20 years older than me. Years older than me.
We're boomers. Like, did you not know we're boomers?
Like, I don't think either you or I owned the second that it came out. But like, I think, like,
no, I did. I owned it back in 1993 right, when it came out. I remember wanting it.
Maybe this is going to be like a new experience to me than like playing this game. Game was a lot of fun. Aesthetics cool. But like, Super Smash TV was also out. And I feel like you play the frantic, you know, it's similar, air quotes around similar, in the sense that it's like another like top-down view, frantic, like kind of shooter game. You play that. Well, that's out, and then you go to Zombies Ate My Neighbors, and it's, like, so much slower going to Zombies Ate My Neighbors, where it's, like, Super Smash TV, shorter, but much more frantically paced, and I feel like, you know, every time I played, like, Zombies Ate My Neighbors, I was like, oh, I think I'll like this, because I like Super Smash TV, but every time I played Zombies Ate My Neighbors, it was like, it ain't Super Smash TV. But
you're not, I'll say this, you're not wrong, but for me, when I look at our list, and we'll talk about the ranking discussion, there's one particular game on the list that is like, this is a great comparison. But just to talk about one feature that I hadn't really thought about when I was doing research about this, but I'm glad that we played this game before we hopped on and started recording, is the two-player. So the two-player in this game is just one screen. You have to keep on one screen. And there doesn't go into split screen when you separate each other on the map. It's really hard when you're on like a maze type level. It doesn't really work that well because you need to keep everybody on that one screen because it won't let you go outside of that screen. And plus, when you're scrolling it, you get into issues that you get like traditionally people know, like Contra. If you scroll the screen too far, you kill somebody. And that can happen with like not... You won't instantly kill them, but you can trap them in a spot where they're surrounded by chainsaw-wielding maniacs and getting instantly killed. So I'm glad that we played it on two-player because the two-player, I think, is pretty bad unless you're very coordinated in this game.
Well, so we, for context, like you and I played it on SNES.party, which like I was also experiencing like a lot of like delay in...
I'm not even talking about like your.
But like, if we were like in a room,
not talking about your performance.
Well, I wasn't either. But if we were like in a room together, we would have been like, you know, we would have been like, you know, yelling like we would have done like back in the 90s, like when you're playing with these games, like you're like yelling, you know, I don't want to say orders, but like you're kind of barking like strategy at like one another, which again, lost art. But yeah, it's not a if you're not playing a co-op and couch co-op, it's not a two-player mode that's going to hold up by 2020 standards.
Before we dive into the rankings, there's a couple things. So this game actually got a sequel. Did you know this game had a sequel?
Ghoul Patrol, but I think it's only on the Super Nintendo, right? Yeah.
It was not received that well. This game wasn't received that well. I think it was critically received well, but it didn't sell, is the thing. So it's known generally, Steve... I think you described it greatly as somebody on a playground said, oh, this game Zombies Ate My Neighbors is great. But nobody, like not everybody knew about the game. This is a very cult classic game, which fits.
Yeah, and this was from a friend who was very much into the cult classic type of niche there. So not surprising.
Also, in 2011, a Zombies Ate My Neighbor film was in development, but they couldn't secure the rights because LucasArts, like, dissolved, and that whole thing is a mess where all those rights went to.
Is Disney making a Zombie Ate My Neighbor's movie now? Is that what's happening?
No, well, I don't think they owned... Maybe they did. No, I think that was pre-Disney buying that whole stuff. But that all those rights, like, went everywhere. To all that different stuff that LucasArts
I just assumed all the LucasArts stuff was Disney now, though. Because it was around that time frame. It was like 2012 or 2013 or something.
Well, LucasArts had like, what is it? Maniac Mansion and Day of the Tentacle and like Sam and Max. And that's not all owned by Disney, I don't think.
That's true. Actually, a bunch of those just appeared on Game Pass. Right. Day of the Tentacle just popped up there and one of the other ones, I think, too.
So all of those rights for that game studio.
Isn't Day of the Tentacle a level in this game or something along those lines?
That would be funny if it was. I think it actually is.
Yeah.
I have it pulled up.
Or it's
like
Night of the Tentacle or something like that. But while you look that up, I was also going to say, like, if there is a Zombies Ate My Neighbors, like, movie, TV show, whatever, before there is a Grim Fandango movie or TV adaptation, like, something is very wrong with whoever's managing those.
Grim Fandango is a great game. It's a great story. I don't know if it's a great game, but that story is excellent. And also the aesthetic in that game is crazy. Mm. It's very good. That's a game we should add at some point. But yeah, so we should talk about ranking this game. And currently our endless list goes from Super Mario 64 at number 1 all the way down to Jurassic Park Trespasser at number 102. This is our 103rd game on the endless list. And I was speaking about a pretty good, great comparison to this game previously, and that I think is a great starting point is Toe Jam and Earl, which is exactly what this game is.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. So if you think about it, Toe Jam and Earl, you have to
find
a level and find an elevator.
I'm not there yet. Sell me on this.
Well, just in terms of how the game is structured. So level-based, you can be two-player. You get a variety of weapons. You have to find an exit and then go to the exit. In this case, in the Zombies Ate My Neighbors, you have to find the neighbors and then the exit appears. But it's the same like level. You're working up a series of levels to get to the area that you need to go. And it's I think the concept is very, very, very similar. The one thing I'll say about Zombies Ate My Neighbors versus Toe Jam and Earl is that the two-player in Toe Jam and Earl is way better because it's split screens. If you can go anywhere you want as a two-player. It's randomized. The level designs are random. So every time you play it, it's a little bit different, which I enjoy.
Toe Jam
better.
And Earl, not...
Yeah, this, yeah, not, to, this, Toe Jam
not,
and Earl.
Not Zombies Ate My Neighbors. That's static.
Right.
I would just like to say for a moment here, yeah, I've never played either Toe Jam and Earl or Earthworm Jim, but it is occurring to me as I look up the pictures of Toe Jam and Earl that even though I knew they were different games, I always thought it was Earthworm Jim. So throw that out there right now. I'm like looking at Toe Jam and Earl being like, nope, had no concept of this. Nope, I was totally wrong my whole life.
Earthworm Jim had a cartoon.
Right, yeah. Yeah, this is blowing my mind.
Anyway, he was a worm in a spacesuit.
Like cartoon too.
I knew what he looked like. I just thought that their aesthetic was closer. And
Toe Jam and Earl did not have a cartoon. No.
They didn't have a cartoon. Okay.
No. But for me, I when coming into this conversation, before I had replayed the game, I thought that Zombies Ate My Neighbors was a better game than Toe Jam and Earl. I do not think that now.
First, yes, I 1000% agree with you. Toe Jam and Earl is a better game. Other than the top-down view in the elevator exit, I think the comparisons kind of end there for me.
Well, I mean, you get a variety of different weapons or presence. They can affect your movement speed, or they can give you different ways you move, or you have an offensive capability.
You get sneakers that speed you up in both, but you're not really indulging in combat in Toe Jam and Earl. You're kind of more whatever. That it's
well, you get
it's not something tomatoes. You get it's not yes, you get tomatoes to slow people down, but you're fending off.
I think they're very, very similar games.
I mean, whatever. The games and we'll agree to disagree on that just because, like, the quality of the games is so far apart that Toe Jam and Earl is so superior that...
I don't think they're super far apart. Like, I think that I could see this game going below it maybe by, like, 10 to 15 spots.
Hold on, wait. Sorry, people listening at home for what Mike just said.
So Toe Jam and Earl is at number 55. Number 55.
This is a hard area to rank games because these are all very good games in this area, but
I don't think this game goes above Toe Jam and Earl. I think this game goes above like a Madden 2004 or an F-Zero, for example, and a Phantasmagoria. I think this game goes above Rampage.
Wait. Rampage is 63. Ooh. Steve, I'm processing my thoughts. What are your thoughts here?
I can't believe Toe Jam and Earl went above Luigi's Mansion. That's what I'm thinking. All right. Right now
not what the conversation needed at the moment.
But I also had no concept of Toe Jam and Earl, as I just described. So, anyway, that's my only thought here.
Toe Jam and Earl is the coolest shit ever. I'm just going to throw that out there. One of my favorite games, actually.
Yeah.
I am looking up Toe Jam and Earl right now, and the caption on this picture I just found on Google Images says, Toe Jam and Earl is more Diet Coke than fine wine. So, that's...
Yeah.
That's what I just came up with. That's what the internet just threw to my way.
I would say that, but I don't think that's a bad thing.
Well, that's fair.
Again, anyway, this...
I always think of Luigi's Mansion as a wall.
All right, well, you know, the Luigi's Mansion wall is at 56. And again, I think on our list, 56 to... where are we going to get this cut off? I think 56 to, like... 85-ish is a very difficult range to rank games in because I feel like they were all kind of just marginally better than each other. But I was going into this thinking like, it's a Paperboy territory, which Paperboy is like 83, you know.
No way. Why would you think it's that bad?
Because it's like 50 levels of like sameness. I think if you polled 100 people who could confirm for you that they played Zombies Ate My Neighbors, and you think you asked them like, oh, how far did you get into Zombies Ate My Neighbors, they'd probably be like Steve and say, well, I got about 10 levels in and it was cool and it was fun, and then I kind of put it away with my other childhood things, you know. I think
I don't know about that.
I will say my experience of having thought about this game my whole life and not really having a concept of it, I wasn't super enthused to play beyond the three levels that I played.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun.
You know, it's like F-Zero, I think, is just, you know, that's a pretty good racing game right there.
I was kind of thinking about that as a sticking point. Like, F-Zero, I don't know, like, F-Zero is not, like, the most sophisticated game in the world, but I feel like... It came out 3 years before this game, and I feel like it does some cool stuff that seems a little bit more technically advanced than this.
I think the diversity
in level design in terms of the weapons and the way the levels are designed and the enemies. I think F-Zero is a very bland racer. I think it's very cool to look at and has a good sense of speed, but it's very it can become very one note. You can play that game for, you play that game every once in a while. It's similar in the fact it's very similar to Zombies Ate My Neighbors in the fact that you can pick it up every couple of years and be like, oh, I'm having a good time with this. But I think
could see I think I could see the argument that you're making too, that you could put F-Zero down and like walk away from it the same way Chris was saying you could walk away from Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Yeah.
That was kind of, I feel like I'm having some nostalgia goggles for F-Zero right now.
You know, if
fair point.
If somebody said that, well, Steve, you're kind of like the impartial person here, right? So if I said, Steve, would you rather play, let's just say 15 levels of Zombies Ate My Neighbors, or would you rather play some busted-ass vertical plays as Michael Vick on the Atlanta Falcons in Madden 2004? What would you probably think you're going to have a better time doing? Whatever you say here is where I'm going to go.
I like Madden games, but they all feel like Madden games to me, so I don't rank them particularly high, like in terms of comparing them to other games. So I could see myself having a fun time playing 15 levels of frustrating co-op, same screen co-op with somebody in Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
It didn't feel
like a particularly bad game to me. So
I think there it is.
Lower the list.
You know, I hear that.
But I've only played 3 levels of this, so I'm going to leave it to you.
Have you played any of Madden 2004 as Broken Michael Vick?
No, I have not played Madden 2004 specifically.
All right, so that's a very unique Madden. Okay, so I think just really quickly, does the Zombies Ate My Neighbors cross the Tapper wall for you?
For me,
I've never played Tapper. I don't.
Oh my God, Steve, Jesus! All right, how about the Minesweeper wall? How about that?
The Minesweeper wall. That's a wall.
Tapper used to be a wall. But if you don't have the Broken Vic wall and you don't have the Tapper wall, I need something here.
I think I don't think I have a lot to go from here. I think F-Zero is my point of reference.
Jesus, give me something like Minesweeper. How about that?
Minesweeper. I think I was clear on the Minesweeper pod that I'm not impressed by Minesweeper that
All
much,
right.
But
so I think
this game goes at 68.
Which
is at the very bottom of what my expectation.
Five.
Oh, of course, five. Dude. I said that 55 to 70 was my range. I think that it should go at 68. And you're trying to move it down artificially.
No,
right?
I
know what you're doing.
I don't care. Above F-Zero is fine with me.
I'm curious, like, where your thought process coming into this game, this was that it was going to be worse than Deja Vu?
First, calling it worse than, I think, puts a negative connotation on it. Again, I think this realm of games are all very good. It's just, when I think of it as like a complete package, I just go like, yeah, it's, you know, 50 levels is something that could be 12. And, it's, you know, it's fun. It's cool. The aesthetic's great. Just, you know, I feel like
I think that's one of its strengths.
I feel like
that it has so many levels.
I feel like you'd be hard pressed to find anybody who's like, yeah, I beat all like whatever it is, 48 levels or something like that. I feel like it just gets a little monotonous at some point. But
let me ask you this: would you put if we had just? I'm just trying to speak here, just about like different games from the era. If you had to put, let's say, Disney's Aladdin for the Genesis on this list.
Really specific.
Would Zombies Ate My Neighbors go above it or below it? Have you played that game?
Yes, but I can't remember the difference between the Genesis one and the Super Nintendo one. You know what I would say? Because I can't adequately compare the Genesis Aladdin game. You know that Super Nintendo Mickey Mouse game, like where you put on like the different like attires and get the different effects?
Oh, that game is not as good as this game.
Oh, I was going to say, that would go above. But I mean, hey, again, this range, it's all gravy in this range. They're all mid-carter games right here. I just I was just a little
shocked. Were you trying to
with the FC?
Were you trying
comparison.
to Were you trying to, or with the Toe Jam and Earl comparison? You mean?
First the
Toe. I don't think that F-Zero is widely regarded as a good game. By the way,
Toe Jam and Earl comparison was like, you gave me like two little jabs to the jaw, but when you hit the F-Zero one, that was like a little bit of a right cross across the fucking forehead, and I was, you know, maybe a little dazed from the Toe Jam and Earl comparisons, but. I mean, again, wherever it falls here, it's all good.
Well, you're making me guilty here. I'm putting it this high. I feel like you want me to put it lower.
Yeah, again, it's a range that, you know, these are all. It's all,
this is a why real. You, this why is don't a you really, guys do this? Is a really awkward ranking conversation right now.
Why don't you guys do the thing we usually do in these situations, and we'll just split the difference on where you're trying to feel this game goes.
First, we don't usually do that. That's like a new thing to, you know, dissipate the black flag Last of Us arguments. But
listen.
But, I mean, it is a good point, and, like, to be fair, where I thought this would initially go, and after thinking about it, I would probably, like, and being entirely realistic... And, like, taking into account our whole conversation from the past 15 minutes or whatever, how long we've been talking, I think my spot for it would have been, after originally talking about it, I thought it would go at 63. And now that we've talked about it, I've worked my way down, and I've been like, okay, maybe 66. And now that we're even talking about it further, I'm like, okay, so maybe 68. And so I originally started at 63 and have worked myself down to 68 talking about this.
Mike's moving the goalposts here. He's trying to say that his answer is actually the compromise.
So if
take the deal,
if
Chris.
We were talking, 55 to 83, because I was going to say right around Paperboy, that's a, 24 spot, 34 spot difference. So, 17 would take us down to 70. Oh god, it's right where I started this with right around Minesweeper. I don't care above or below F-Zero. Again, it's the range of our list that's like all these games are all kind of like comparably good, so I don't really care when one goes slightly above, slightly below in that 55 to like 85 range. Like, that's like they're all enjoyable games that you should play.
Since Steve is an F-Zero stan, I'm gonna put it. Let's put it at 70.
I mean, do you want to fight? Do we want to compare this to Last of Us? Because I like this more than Last of Us.
No.
Steve,
dear God.
Steve, is this?
Do you want me to come out against you on this, Chris?
Steve's gonna come in like Stone Cold Steve Austin in the Mankind Rock.
Hand me the chair. Match.
All right, so let's add a little drama to the pod. I'll make an argument if it's better or not than Last of Us. Steve will talk about whether it's better or not than Dishonored, and we'll see where we land. Is that what you want to do?
All right. Point taken.
All right. So we have a new number 70. Can we all, by acclamation, say aye?
Aye.
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 Okay. We have a new number 70. It is Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
I think that entire ranking discussion was Mike arguing against himself.
The entire time. Because
you see, Mike had already made an argument prior to the podcast with himself, and he talked himself down. So.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, you don't ever become a lawyer. You'd be too good.
I know. I think, unfortunately, the Alien Isolation original ranking was deleted because I was like, that'd be another example where I was like, hey, you know what? What you just offered, way higher than I was looking for a ranking, but we still got that.
I'm just trying to make people happy.
I took that deal so quickly. I was just like, what, 27? Yes.
Yep.
But good job, guys. We ranked another one. A new number 70, Zombies Ate My Neighbors. It's our 103rd entry to the Endless List, and you can follow us at It's So Bad Pod on Twitter. It's So Bad Pod at gmail.com is the email address. We will hopefully be back next week with another episode.
Hopefully.
Chris, do you want to do a big market tease on that?
Do you like dystopian / fantasy setting NES action RPGs?
It's Crystalis. It's Crystalis.
Oh, you killed my gimmick. Steve, will you be playing that We're one doing over the course of the next 2 weeks?
No, I will be setting that one up. Well.
We're playing Crystalis, and you'll be able to hear that
is
next week.
Is it Crystalis or but yes. Crystalis? I always call it Crystalis.
Crystalis. Yeah, it's like Lumines, Luminous. I always used to call it Lumines, but it's Luminous.
You know, like, thinking of playing Crystalis, whatever. Another good NES, I said crossover genre game to play, but Guardian Legend would be a good one. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, someday we'll get there.
Someday.
We'll be back next week with another episode. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.